When Melody and I moved here 25 years ago to Edwardsville to start this church, leaving behind an established, growing, comfortable church situation, leaving behind a nice little three-bedroom, two-car garage, fully bricked house to move into an apartment and taking a huge cut in pay. That was definitely a part of our adventure in saying yes to God. But saying yes isn't just a one-time thing. I mean, that's an ongoing adventure. And yet for many of us, our whole life, our driving motivation, our primary motivation in life is comfort. I mean, that's really what drives us. We live our lives thinking, you know, if I could just get to the point where things are comfortable in my life, then I would be happy. Then I would be fulfilled in life. And we live that way. And yet that's not reality. That's not going to lead to us feeling fulfilled and happy in life. Eventually, if we never step out of our comfort zone, eventually that's just going to lead to a stale, boring life. We're just going to kind of shrivel up on the inside. It's just going to be same old, same old, stuck in a rut. We're going to reach the end of our life and go, oh, if only. If only I'd done this, if only I'd tried this, what if I had headed this, what if I'd looked at this differently, what if I had pursued this right here, and that's no way to live. And so God wants us to renounce comfort as the primary objective of our life, and instead, he wants us stepping out in faith. And for some of us, that's sobering news. Because the reality is, that's how we've spent our lives. We've spent practically our whole lives pursuing a life of comfort and ease. And God says, no. I want you to experience the adventure that comes from saying yes to me. I want you to step out of your comfort zone. I want you to live by faith, not just every 5 years, not just once a year, not just once a month. God says, I want that to be a lifestyle for you. In fact, Scripture says, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, hit this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not that it's hard. It's not that it's tough or difficult. That you can kind of do it, but you're going to struggle some. No, it just says, it's just flat out impossible to please God without living by faith. That's how God wants us living our lives. He wants us living our lives by faith, trusting him. He wants us to move into a trust relationship with him, and then he wants us trusting him in life. He wants us to trust him to come through and meet our needs instead of trying to control things and trying to meet all of our own needs. He wants us to trust him to provide us with provide the fulfillment and contentment that we're looking for instead of somehow trying to manufacture contentment and fulfillment on our own. In essence, what he wants us to do is he wants us to say yes to him. He wants us to step out in faith and trust him instead of trying to control everything ourselves. One of the accounts in Scripture that I have been drawn to over and over throughout the years is the account of Peter walking on water with Jesus. This is just an incredible account of what it looks like to step out of your comfort zone, to step out in faith and really live. In essence, it's an account of what it looks like to live our lives really saying yes to God. So if you have your Bible today, I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 14, where this account is found. Many of you are probably at least somewhat familiar with the account. Jesus had stayed on land to spend some time praying to his heavenly Father. The disciples, all 12 of his closest inner circle, they get into a boat. They head out across the water. In the middle of the night, a storm hits. They're fighting this huge, massive storm with waves and wind and all this. And all of a sudden, they see in the darkness, in the middle of the storm, they see what looks to be a person walking on the water. I mean, just think about it. Can you imagine how spooky that would be? Well, they see this figure. It turns out to be Jesus. When Peter sees Jesus, he says, hey, can I get out of the boat and walk to you? Now, a lot of people kind of look down their noses at Peter, because when he gets out of the boat, Jesus says yes, he gets out of the boat and begins to walk towards Jesus, but Peter begins to sink. And so a lot of people, they go, oh man, Peter lost his faith and he started sinking. I mean, man, what a bummer deal. But I got to tell you, I'm impressed with Peter. I mean, of the 12 guys that are in the boat, Peter is the only one that steps out of the boat, takes a risk, and actually walks on water. I mean, other than Jesus, he's the only human person that we've ever known that has really walked on water. And I'm sure in that process, he experienced the presence and the power of God in a totally unique way. And that's maximizing your life. That's living life to the fullest. And so the question that I have for us today is, how can we live that way? How can we live our lives fully, experiencing the adventure that God has for us, stepping out in faith, stepping out of the boat, stepping out of our comfort zone, and saying yes to God? How can we, as we move into 2016, experience the fullness of the life that God really has for us? How can we be water walkers? And so looking at this passage of Scripture, Matthew 14, this account, I want us to look at five things that we can do, you can do in 2016 to experience the life of adventure that God has for you, the fullness of the life that God intended for you to have. Number one, the first thing that we need to do if we're going to be water walkers is we need to visualize possibilities. We need to visualize possibilities. You see, a lot of people only seem to see problems. When they look around, all they see is obstacles. All they see is the impossibilities. Oh, we can't do that. We can't afford to do that. Nobody's ever done that. It's never been done like that. That's, you can't do that. I mean, that's impossible. And when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water in the middle of the night, look at what the Bible says in Matthew 14, beginning in verse 27, is where we're going to pick up. It says, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. I mean, they're terrified when they see him walking on the water. But verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, the other disciples are apparently shaking in their boots or sandals or whatever it is. But where they saw an impossible situation, Peter saw an incredible opportunity. He saw an opportunity to do something that no ordinary person had ever done. They saw impossibilities, but Peter saw a possibility. You see, to walk on water, to live by faith, I've got to visualize what could be. I've got to be able to visualize a preferred future. I've got to be able to see possibilities. I've got to be able to approach life from an attitude that says, you know, I may not be able to do this on my own, in my own strength, on my own ingenuity and know-how. I may not be able to do this, but with God, all things are possible. One plus God equals a majority. With God, all things are possible. You see, even though Peter had never seen anybody do it, he had never seen anybody walk on water, he believed. He believed that with God's help, he could actually do it. You know, as human beings, we often say things like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. And God says, no, you got it backwards. Sometimes you have to believe it in order to see it. And whether you're an architect, like designing some nice building, a skyscraper or something, or you're an artist creating a sculpture, or you're an athlete training to win a gold medal, you have to believe it before you see it, before you experience it. All of these things require faith. You have to believe it's possible in advance. You have to see the opportunity and be willing to say yes and step out of your comfort zone. Wernher von Braun, the father of kind of the space age, who designed, built the Atlas rockets, the Saturn rockets that eventually allowed us to get men on the moon, he made this statement. Here's a quote from him. He said, "There's never been any significant achievement in human history that was not accompanied by faith. Never been any significant achievement in human history that was not accompanied by faith. It all starts with somebody believing it's possible. It all starts with somebody seeing an opportunity, somebody believing in advance. You have to believe it can happen. You got to believe that God can do it before it's actually going to happen." Listen to this. This was taken from a message that I delivered back in 1991, within 6 months of us starting this church. There were just a handful of people at that time still, but this is what I said in a message. The Metro Dream, this was the dream of Metro Community Church. The Metro Dream is the dream of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the thousands of residents in Edwardsville, Glencarbon, and the surrounding communities. It is the dream of 1,000 members growing together in spiritual maturity through home Bible study groups, loving, laughing, and learning together, understanding God's wonderful plan, and living life to its greatest potential. It's the dream of 30 to 40 acres of land on which we built a regional church for Madison County with beautiful yet efficient facilities, including a worship center, a lovely state-of-the-art nursery and children's facility, all designed to minister to the total person, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and socially, in an inspiring setting with bright flowers and beautiful trees. And then I finished the message by saying this: that is what we're about. I stand before you to say, I believe that these dreams will become a reality. You see, faith, and that's, faith turns dreams into reality. And it's not that I had a great, big, huge, amazing faith, because I didn't. There were times where my faith faltered, where my faith was very small. But all it takes, this is what's so amazing, is all it takes is a little bit of faith in a great, big, amazing, amazing God. And God moves. But we've got to see the opportunity and not be overwhelmed by the obstacles and the challenges around us. We've got to visualize. We've got to see that there are opportunities. We've got to see, visualize the possibilities. But not only that, the second thing that we need to do, if we're going to be water walkers, if we're going to experience the adventure that God has for our lives as we move in to this new year, into 2016, is number two, we need to listen to Jesus. We need to listen to Jesus. We can't just take out on our own and do whatever it is that, you know, that we want to do. We've got to listen to Him. I need, what we need to do is we need to get God's input. I've got to take time to listen and figure out what it is that God wants me to do in my life. Don't just rush into things. And this is what a lot of us do. We rush into things and we actually get ahead of God. And we need to make sure that we're listening to Him. What we've got to do, and this is what Peter did. I mean, Peter didn't just hop out of the boat when he saw Jesus walking on the water. What he did was he waited for Jesus to give specific instructions. And then he stepped out on the water. Look at this in verse 29, the first part of the verse. "Come," he said. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter, that's the key word there. Then Peter got down out of the boat. Don't presume on God. And this is where a lot of us, we kind of mess up in this whole deal. A lot of us, we end up presuming on God. We come up with some dream, some idea of our own, and then we want God to bless what we've come up with without His input. Don't try to call the shots and just do what you want to do and then expect God to bless what you decide to do without His input. I've got to seek His advice. I've got to seek God's guidance. I've got to seek God's counsel in my life. I've got to listen to God. Now, in listening to God and trying to get clarity, God, what is it that you want me to do? Typically, God doesn't just strike us with a lightning bolt and go, boom, this is what I want you to do. He's probably not going to call you on your cell phone. He's probably not going to text you. He's probably not going to email you. I've never had God do any of that for me. So how do we figure out what God wants us to do in our life? Well, the most reliable way is through Scripture. And I don't think it's any exaggeration at all to say that at least 90% of God's will for our life is found, has already been laid out for us in God's Word. And this book is full of principles and guidelines and truths and commands that God has given us to help us navigate life's journey successfully. There are guidelines related to being single. There are guidelines related to how to build a fulfilling marriage, a healthy marriage. Guidelines on parenting, on finances, how to get out of debt, on making the most of our jobs, on how to use our time wisely, on dealing with loneliness, on how to find fulfillment, and on and on and on. That's why we encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. Yes, there are huge benefits for us gathering and hearing teaching and being challenged in a setting like this. But you need more than that. You need to get into God's Word for yourself. You need to read it. You need to begin to apply it to your life. We're starting a new year. If you've never read through the Bible, I mean, this is a great time to just read through the Bible in a year. We have plans that you can pick up in our resource center. One year Bibles, you can go online and pick up different plans. If not the whole Bible, then at least read the New Testament, the life, the account of Jesus. But read that. This is why we're constantly encouraging and challenging you to be a part of a small group where you can gather with other people who are just like you. You know, just ordinary people in a home Bible study group, getting with others to look at how do we apply this? How do we live it out, God's truths out, in day-to-day life? And you do life with others and find encouragement from others in living your life in. But that's where we're going to find what God has to say. I mean, without a doubt, the Bible is the most important source for knowing, for discovering God's will. We're never going to accomplish the will of God or maintain the blessing of God by abandoning the principles of God. Whatever the dream is that you sense God is leading you to pursue, whatever those possibilities are, they are never God's will, His plan, what He wants you to do in your life is never going to contradict God's Word. So this is what we've got to go to. We've got to turn to God's Word and listen to Him. Now, there's some of us that we believe God's Word. I mean, in a general sort of way, you grew up maybe in an environment where you believe that the Bible was the Word of God. We just never really aligned our lives with it. We just never really surrendered to it and said, man, this is going to be the guide for how I do my life in every area. We've never said, yes, I'm willing to follow you, Lord. I'm willing to follow what you say. I'm willing to make God's Word the authority for my life. But maximum freedom is found under the umbrella of God's authority, under the umbrella of God's Word. So if we want to experience the adventure that God has for us, we want to experience maximum freedom in our life, we have got to live under the authority of God's Word. So if I'm going to maximize my life, if I'm going to live out the adventure God has for me, I've got to be open and responsive to what God has to say. I've got to listen to Him. We've got to listen to Jesus. Number three, the third thing, and we see if we're going to be water walkers, if we're going to experience the adventure that God has for us as we move into 2016, number three is we need to refuse to get sidetracked by the skeptics. We need to refuse to be sidetracked by skeptics. You see, Jesus will tend to invite us and challenge us to do things that are too big for us. They're too big for us to do on our own. We're bound to fail at it unless He steps in. And the reason that He challenges us to step into things like that is because He wants us to know, and He wants everyone else to know, that He's the one that's doing it. And when we decide to be a part of that kind of venture, guess what? We're probably going to be criticized. We're probably going to get ridiculed. Some will think, you know, that doesn't even make sense. I mean, that's crazy. That's nuts. You may be accused of being irresponsible. They may question your motives, your abilities. You know, who do you think you are in doing that? You can't do that. I mean, that's just dumb. That's goofy. But to walk on water, to experience the adventure that God has, you've got to be willing to do what others are unwilling to do. You got to be willing to go where others are unwilling to go. You got to be willing to face disapproval and maybe ridicule and the skepticism of others. Look back at the account here, verse 26, right before the verses we looked at earlier in Matthew 14. It says, when the disciples saw him, when they saw Jesus walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Now, what's getting here is while Peter is getting ready to step out of the boat, the other disciples are apparently, they're still cowering in fear. Now, the Bible doesn't give us any details on what the others said, and maybe they were so stunned, maybe they didn't say anything. But what we do know is that not a single one of them stepped out of the boat with Peter. It's just Peter on his own. He's out there on his own on this one. And there will be times when you decide to say yes to God, what God wants you to do in your life, where you'll stand alone. It's just going to be you. There will be times when you decide to say yes and step out in faith and do what you know God wants you to do in your life, that some of the people that you're closest to, they're not going to understand. And not only will they not understand, but some of them, they're not going to be supportive. They may even be antagonistic. They may try to talk you out of it, try to talk you into, you know, just play it safe. They may discourage you. In fact, they may even at times undermine what you're trying to do. And the reason that they do that typically is their own fears, their own insecurities. At times they realize that they ought to be saying yes and stepping out of their comfort zone in some area of their life, but they don't want to do it. And so they resent anybody who makes them aware that they're settling for second best. And so instead of cheering you on, which is what you'd love to see, what you'd love to experience, instead, they end up dragging you down and keeping you from maximizing your life. When we started this church, we had people, Christian people, leaders. I had a pastor saying, you can't grow a church in Edwardsville. I remember sharing the vision of the church that we were going to start and having people go, Paul, you know, you're just too idealistic. In a church for the younger generation, a church for people who aren't even into going to church, a church where people really care about each other and love each other, and they're doing life with each other in small little communities and in small groups. I mean, that's just not going to happen. And that sounds great, but it's not the way that church really works. There will always be naysayers. There will always be skeptics, critics, doubters, people who try to get us to settle for less than God's best. If you're going to be a water walker, if you're going to experience the adventure that God has for your life, you've got to refuse to give in and get sidetracked by the skeptics. And there's a fourth thing that we need to do. If we're going to be water walkers, if we're going to experience the adventure that God has for our lives, number four, we need to get out of the boat. You see, there comes a point in your life where you got to take the first step. There's some of you, even as we've been talking today, you've sensed there are some things, there's probably some specific things that some of you know God has been saying, you need to do this. And maybe you've known for some time. Maybe today is just, it's like resounding in your head. Here's a step that you need to take in your life. You know this is the right thing to do. God has been nudging you to do this in your life, and you've just been putting it off. One of these days, you've been having excuses. You've been rationalizing. You've been coming up with all these reasons. You have 1,000 reasons for why you haven't done it yet. There comes a point where if you're going to live by faith, if you're going to experience the adventure that God has for you, you just got to say yes, and you've got to take that first step and get out of the boat. Look at this. In the second part of verse 29, it says, then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. There comes a time Where if we're going to live by faith, we just got to say yes. And we've got to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and just go for it. We got to be willing to let go of our fears and apprehensions. And those fears and apprehensions, they may be very real. I have lived with fears. I live with fears and apprehensions in my life. And sometimes we just got to step out against those. We got to quit trying to keep things as predictable and comfortable as possible. We've got to let go of that. Faith, and this is what we need to understand. Faith always involves risking. And that's just part of it. Some people want a guarantee of success before they step out in faith, before they obey God. And God says, no, that doesn't take faith. He wants us trusting him. He wants us stepping out in faith. He says, I want you to obey and step out even before you see the results. God wants us to step out in faith and just say yes. Yes, God, whatever it is, I'm going to follow you. Whatever it is that you want me to do, the answer is yes. And that's what this church has been about from the beginning, stepping out in faith, stepping out of the boat. When three couples, the Barnhills, the Baumans, and the Greens, decided to get together and give above and beyond their regular giving, their regular tithes, and give sacrificially to be able to provide a salary for my wife, Melanie, and I to come and be a part of starting this church, that was a step of faith. When we went out and we bought sound equipment and nursery equipment and we rented LeClaire Elementary School to have our first public service, and we didn't know what was going to happen, that was a step of faith. We went to two services and then three services to provide more space for the growth that we were experiencing. And that was a step of faith. We were providing more space and more options for people to hear this life-transforming message of hope. That was a step of faith. Every time that we have added staff over the years, that has been a step of faith. When we start another campus in Vandalia, that was a step of faith. The history of this church has been a history of stepping out in faith. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons that God continues to bless and God has kept his hand on this church is because our determination to continue living by faith. We don't want to live. I don't want to live looking back at history and go, oh, look at what we did way back. We want to continue to live by faith, to step out of the boat, to step out of our comfort zone, and to accomplish anything significant, to make any kind of real difference, we have got to step out of the boat. As a church, we've got to be willing to step out in our own individual lives. God has led us. As a church, we're sensing him leading us to continue stepping out in faith, to go replicating ourselves, to start more multi-site campuses. I see a day when we'll have 3 to 5 more. We're running 2,000-3,000 people and beyond. We'll be starting another service in Vandalia. Be replicating our small groups, to provide more small groups for more people to be involved and be able to do life together. God is leading us to continue to stretch and help start other churches. I mean, there's so many people that need Jesus in our area. We can't just stay the way we are. Maybe in your individual life, maybe you need to say yes and step out of your comfort zone in some area. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone and forgive somebody. Maybe you've been struggling in that area. Maybe it's just saying, yes, God, I'm going to make your word the authority in my life. I'm going to align my life. Not just give your word lip service. I believe it's your word, but I'm going to begin to follow your truths, your teachings in my life. I mean, for some of you, that would be a huge step of faith. Say, I'm going to follow your word. Maybe it's going ahead and inviting that person that you work with to church. Maybe it's plugging into a small group. I mean, you've been coming up with all kinds of reasons why, oh, I can't do it now. And it's time to just step out of the boat and to do it. Maybe there's an area of ministry that you've been postponing getting involved in. You know that God wants you involved in that. Maybe there's a changing career that you need to make. Maybe so you have more time to serve, to get involved in what God is doing. Maybe it's to have more time with your family. Maybe for you it's getting baptized. You know that that's a step of obedience that you need to take in your life. You know what God's word has to say. And you need to take that step. Maybe it's joining, being a part of this church. Maybe it's being a part of one of the teams that's going to help us start other multi-sites. And we expect the next multi-site will probably be within 10, 15 minutes of here. Just providing other options in relatively close proximity for people to come and hear this message of hope. The key is that you need to say yes and be obedient to what God wants you to do. If you're not, you know, the truth is, it's just your loss. And you just miss out on so many blessings. When God asks us to step out in faith, it's always for our benefit. He always has our best interest at heart. Even when at first it may seem unreasonable, we may not understand why it is that God wants us to do this, and it seems inconvenient. It is always with our best interests at heart. The Bible, I mean, this is God's word. This is the owner's manual for life. I mean, God made us. Who knows better what it is that we need in life? And if we ignore it, if we ignore what God says about how to live life, think about it. Who are we hurting? Not God. We're only hurting ourselves. So we need to say yes. Yes to God, and take that first step. Step out of the boat. Step out of your comfort zone. Whatever it is that God is leading you to do in your life, you just need to say yes and take that first step. And then number five, the fifth thing that we need to do if we're going to stay, if we're going to experience this life of adventure, we're going to be water walkers, is we need to stay focused on Jesus. We need to stay focused on Jesus. To walk on water, we got to stay focused on him. As soon as Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking around at the exploding storm around him, what happens? He begins to sink. I mean, look at it. Verse 30, it says, but when he saw the wind, when Peter saw the wind, when he looked at the wind and the high waves, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. The moment I take my eyes off of Jesus, I'm going to get overwhelmed by the circumstances, the waves of life, the challenges all around me. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to continually, on an ongoing basis, keep saying yes to Jesus. We can't afford to allow the distractions to divert our attention from the Lord, because the moment we lose our focus, we're going to start sinking. We got to keep our eyes, keep our heart riveted on him. Now, keeping my eyes on Jesus it's not a one-time thing that we do in our life. It's something that I do again and again and again and again and again. I mean, anytime I get distracted, anytime I get scared, anytime I want to give up, as soon as possible, I need to come back and get my eyes focused on Jesus again. When Peter began to sink, I mean, he could have started swimming towards the boat on his own. He could have asked the other disciples in the boat, the other guys, to throw him a rope. He could have just given up. Could have tried to take matters into his own hands, but he didn't. He turned towards Jesus, looked at Jesus, said, Jesus, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and saved him. Every so often, we're living by faith. We're going to get distracted, and we're going to struggle with some doubts. We're going to look around, and at times we're going to wonder, what in the world have I gotten myself into? What do we do at those times? What we need to do is we turn back to Jesus. We refocus on Jesus. We continue to trust him. We say yes again. Say yes to Jesus. Live your life saying yes to Jesus. When God leads you to do something in your life, just say yes to him. Yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out of the boat. And yes, I'm going to do it. When we falter, when we stumble, or we fall flat on our face, we got to get back up and keep on going. We need to stay focused on Jesus, following his will. The secret to persistence is to stay focused on Jesus. Now, some of you may be here today, and the reality is you're at a quitting point in your life. You're sinking. And you feel like just giving up. You feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you feel like giving up in your marriage. Maybe you feel like giving up in school because it just seems so hard. Maybe you feel like giving up in your career or on some dream that you just sense God is in this and God wants you to pursue this. But you're at a point where you just feel like giving up on that in your life. Some of you feel like giving up on your finance. You're like, man, I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm in such a deep hole. Some of you feel like giving up on a destructive habit, maybe an addiction in your life. You're like, man, I am never going to break free from this addiction in my life. And yet the reality is God brought you here today to say you need to get back up. Keep on going. Yeah, maybe you've faltered. Maybe you've stumbled. We all have. I have. Get back up. Refocus your eyes on Jesus and say yes to him. Keep getting back up. I want you to listen to this poem. Quit, give up, you're beaten, they shout at me and plead. There's just too much against you now. This time you can't succeed. As I start to hang my head in front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of a race, a children's race, young boys, young men, how I remember well. Excitement, sure, but also fear. It wasn't hard to tell. They all lined up so full of hope, each sought to win the race or to tie for first, or if not that, at least take second place. And fathers from off the side, each cheering for his son, and each boy hoped to show his dad that he would be the one. The whistle blew and off they went, young hearts and hopes of fire. To win and be the hero was each young boy's desire. And one boy in particular, whose dad was in the crowd, was running near the lead and thought, my dad will be so proud. But as they speeded down the field across the shallow dip, the little boy who thought to win lost his step and slipped. Trying hard to catch himself, his hand flew out to brace. Amid the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat on his face. So down he fell, and with him hope. He couldn't win it now. Embarrassed, sad, he only wished to disappear somehow. But as he fell, his dad stood up and showed his anxious face, which to the boy so clearly said, get up and win the race. He quickly rose, no damage done, behind a bit, that's all, and ran with all his mind and might to make up for his fall. So anxious to restore himself, to catch up and to win, his mind went faster than his legs. He slipped and fell again. He wished then he had quit before with only one disgrace. It's hopeless, says a runner now. I shouldn't try to race. But in the laughing crowd, he searched and found his father's face, that steady look which said again, get up and win the race. So up he jumped to try again, 10 yards behind at the last. If I'm going to gain those yards, he thought, I've got to move real fast. Exerting everything he had, he regained 8 or 10. But trying to recapture lead, he slipped and fell again. Defeated, he lay there silently. A tear dropped from his eye. There's no sense running anymore. 3 strikes, I'm out. Why try? I've lost. So what's the use, he thought. I'll live with my disgrace. But then he thought about his dad, who soon he'd have to face. Get up. An echo sounded long. Get up and take your place. You are not meant for failure here. Get up and win the race. So up he rose to run once more. And with a new commit, he resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now, the most he'd ever been. Still, he gave it all he had and ran as though to win. 3 times he'd fallen, tumbling. 3 times he'd rose again. Too far behind to hope to win, but still he ran to the end. They cheered the winning runner as he crossed the line first placed, head high and proud, happy, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line last place, the crowd gave him the greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last with head bowed low, unproud, you'd have thought he'd won the race to listen to that crowd. To his dad, he sadly said, "I didn't do so well." "To me, you won," his father said. "You rose each time you fell." When things are dark and hard and storms are crashing in on top of us, we need to remember that all we need to do is get back up and turn to Jesus, refocus on him, and keep going. Keep stepping out in faith. Keep stepping out of our comfort zone. You're never a failure until you just give up, until you quit getting back up. For some of you, God brought you here today. Say, it doesn't matter what your failures are. It doesn't matter what your fears have been. What you need to do is you need to get back up. You need to focus on Jesus. For some of you, it's a refocusing on Jesus in your life. And you need to step out of the boat. You need to step out of your comfort zone. You need to take a step of faith and say yes to God. So let me ask you, as we're moving into 2016, in what area of your life is God challenging you to step out of your comfort zone, to step out of the boat, to live by faith, to say yes to him, and in doing so, experience the adventure that God has for you? What is that for you? Maybe it's in your spiritual life. Maybe there's something you know that you need to do to get your life where it needs to be, to get yourself on the track that God wants you on. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your family. What is it? Visualize, see the possibilities. Don't cave in to your fears. Don't get caught up in the whole comfort thing. Don't get caught up in your failures. Get back up. Refocus on Jesus. And step out in faith. Step out of the boat and say yes to God. And whatever that area is of your life, say yes to him. And begin to experience the adventure that God really has for you. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, my prayer is that we would not make comfort our primary objective in life. God, that we would renounce comfort. God, I pray that we would not let our fears and our failures stand in the way of us getting back up and focusing, refocusing our lives, our heart on you. God, I pray that we would be willing to step out of the boat, to take that first step, and then keep taking steps, saying yes to you in our lives. And maybe you're here today, and the first step that you need to take, where it all starts, is saying yes to Jesus, making him the Savior, the forgiver of your life. In your heart, you'd pray and say, God, I want that. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be the forgiver. I want you to be the leader of my life. I am putting my trust, my faith in you. Forgive me for the blunders of sin in my life. I want to follow you from here on. I mean, for some of you, that's a huge step out of your comfort zone. But that's the step that you need to take as you begin this new year. For some of you, you've drifted away from God. You've fallen. You've stumbled. You've wondered, oh, how am I going to get back? Today is the day to step back towards Jesus, to refocus on him, to get back up. Take a step of faith. Say yes to him. Some of you need to say yes to God and say, I am going to follow your word. I'm going to make that. I'm surrendering to your authority, to what you have to say. I want to align my life with your truths and your principles. Maybe it's a relational decision that you need to say yes. Maybe it's getting baptized. Whatever that decision is, just say yes to God. right now. Lord, my prayer is that all across this room, individuals would be saying yes, yes to you, yes to your plan for their lives. They would visualize the possibilities, that they would listen to you, not come up with their own dream, their own ideas, but that they would follow you. That God, we wouldn't get sidetracked by others. God, we'd be willing to take that first step out of the boat, saying yes, out of our comfort zone, and that we would keep looking at you. God, we want to live our lives saying yes. And I pray that that would be the heartbeat that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.